Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast, sponsored by WebSpy. It's July 13, 2010, and this is episode 251. With the preparation for my move next week taking up so much of my time, I haven't really been able to get any photography in at all in the last month. I generally like to talk about things photography related that I'm involved with right now, and as I'm currently planning for my move, including creating my first office and small studio, I figured I'd share some information about my humble plans with you today. Before we jump into the main topic, I'd like to say a huge thank you to our sponsors, WebSpy, the internet monitoring, analysis and reporting specialists. As I mentioned last week, if you go to my blog at blog.martinbaileyphotography.com, there's now a text link underneath the WebSpy tile that will automatically tweet the message, thanks to @WebSpy for sponsoring the @MartinBaileyPhotography podcast on Twitter. Or of course you can just type it in yourself in, you know, via your any client that you use to help to show WebSpy that you're supporting the podcast. To find out more about WebSpy and their products, go to webspy.com/MBP. and use the discount code MBPWSY for a 10% discount on anything that you buy. As I mentioned last week, I've had very little space to use as an office over the last 10 years. Housing in the heart of Tokyo is ridiculously expensive, especially when you consider the size of the apartments that you usually end up with. I'll include a few photos in the iTunes enhanced version of this podcast and on the accompanying blog post if you're interested in taking a look. But you know, here, if you're looking at the blog or iTunes, that is, you'll see what pretty much is the extent of my workspace in this, you know, apartment that we're in at the moment. You've probably seen me sitting here in some of the videos that I've produced as well. So it won't be too much of a surprise to many of you, but really, that's it. I do have other gear strewn around the apartment, of course. I have a camera and lens cabinet in our bedroom. There are light stands, tripods, rolls of backdrop material and camera bags in the hallway. There are die-pressed fine art folio folders in front of my television in the living room, as well as boxes of paper for printing out my images. As you can see in this image, you know, also in front of the TV are a couple of boxes that are full of software, wires, so, you know, some more printing paper and other crap that we end up owning in the pursuit of our art. When I've needed a large backdrop to create videos or do still life photography of larger subjects, I've usually had to take over our kitchen for the entire afternoon, and even then there's very little room to work. That's with a larger backdrop. In the next photo, you can see that even if I'm just shooting something like a book that I contributed a lot of assignment work and stock images to, I have to set up a small makeshift studio in my kitchen. This has worked as necessary for a long while, but I have to admit that it's been tiresome. I remember someone once bawling me out for being a photographer, and yet I was not able to simply provide a photograph of something that I've been talking about in an instant. If they'd known how much trouble I went through to set up even a very basic studio, I'm sure they wouldn't have felt that way. It has also never been an option for me to actually have people come around to our place for portrait works, for example. There's just no way that I could bring someone to my makeshift kitchen studio and ask them to contort themselves into all sorts of weird positions just to squeeze into the kitchen through the edge of the backdrop. As you can see here, I generally arrange and, you know, to take my gear to the customer and set up in their living room, or I even hire a studio from time to time and work there. These things are, of course, going to continue to be options as I build my portrait business out more, but it will be so much more nice to have the option to do work at my own home as well. Also, of course, it's not just portrait work. I enjoy doing product shoots and even things, you know, just like photographing stuff to show you here on the podcast. And that will be so much easier with a little more space and even the ability to sort of leave a backdrop set up for multiple days when necessary. All of this has played a big part in my making the decision to uproot myself from my center of Tokyo apartment and move out to one of the cities to the west of central Tokyo area. We've had the keys since June 30th and have been slowly getting things sorted out, ready for our move on July 20th. Last week, we were over there to receive a whole bunch of new furniture, as most of the stuff that we're still using is old and was very cheap when we bought it 10 years ago. And although it's served us well, it really wouldn't suit our new house at all, even if we took it with us. I also have bought some things and that, we still have some things that I bought in the early 90s when I first came to Japan, like a washing machine. I'm amazed that it's still running, though it's going to finally be able to retire next week with its 18-year service badge. I'll probably put a video of our new place together later, as I am designing most of it with photography in mind, but that will have to wait until we've moved in and settled down some. Today, let's concentrate on my new office and studio space. It's nothing amazing and we're only talking two rooms, but it will be enough for me to do most things with room elsewhere in the house to cover many other photographic eventualities. On Saturday, my new desk and a small movable printer stand for my Canon PIXMA Pro 9500 printer were delivered, along with an amazing little table that I picked up. You can see both of these here. Although the printer stand will and work table will be positioned elsewhere in the final layout, I'm so looking forward to being able to put things out on a nice wide desk and a separate printer stand, as opposed to having everything put vertically in the corner of my living room, as I have had to use it sort of for the last 10 years. I bought that old desk that we saw in the picture earlier some 18 years ago. Again, it served me well, but oh, how I want to get rid of it now. You might be able to guess from the legs and roller design on the photograph here that my new work table has a totally controllable height feature. There's a lever on the side that when you press it, it allows you to raise and lower the height from anything from about the height of my desk down to about 25 centimeters on the floor. And this is going to be great for product and still life photography because I can totally control the height of my product. And that means that I'll be able to work at a comfortable height myself rather than, say, having to get up really high to shoot down on something. Now I can just lower the height of the table and of my subject, of course, whenever necessary. The other cool thing is that the surface of the bench rotates 90 degrees. You twist it around and then you can open it up and like a flap opens up and you basically double the size of the work area. This is going to be incredibly useful for, say, laying out prints when deciding on portfolio photo order. I also need a reasonably large area to work on when compiling my fine art folios, which have to be folded and glued together with various components, a bit like a factory product line. I have a large cutting board that I use for trimming prints too that I'll be able to use on this work table. But I'll probably pick up a large piece of thick transparent plastic, the same size as the table, for overall protection. Elsewhere in the new place, we have selected mid-tone woods for the furniture. My wife has pretty much hated the black, dark brown or black furniture that I selected when I was living alone in my early years in Japan. In this room, I've gone for dark brown again, simply to reduce reflections. I've even ordered totally black curtains that will cut most of the light from the window. I'm not sure what you would call these in English, but they're basically they cut out most of the light. And I'll be having a return, what they call a return, built into the side of the curtains, so that they fold back against the wall, minimizing the light that comes in through the sides of the curtains, you know, through the window and then through the sides of the curtains, even when they're shut. This is a south-facing window, though, so will give me some good light most of the day in the summertime and you know, a decent amount of time in the winter too. So I've ordered some plain white lace curtains as well. These have a reflective coating on the window side to reduce glare and also to cut down on the heat that comes through the window during the day. And because they're totally non-patterned, these lace curtains will act as a nice diffuser for light coming in through the window too. Here's a diagram of how I'm thinking of laying out the room at the moment, though this is, of course, subject to change as I actually start to use the room. You can see that it's not a huge space. For the main room on the right, we're talking 257 centimetres wide by 439 centimetres long. The elements like the desk and the new printer and backdrop, etc., are all to scale. So this will give you some idea of how much room I'll have to work in. I have some smaller backdrops that will fit in here easily, but I also have a four-section backdrop stand that can be used at 6 feet, 9 feet or 12 feet wide. I will be able to comfortably use the 6 feet wide configuration, as you can see in the diagram. If I put my chair against the, under the desk, I'll be able to get a reasonable distance back from the subject as well. During the day, I'll be able to use the diffuse light through the plain white lace curtains on the window, as well as my umbrella and other lighting. If necessary, I'll be able to shut out almost all light with the black curtains that I also have coming. I've positioned my desk so that the black curtains, with the black curtains shut, there'll be little light from the window to affect how my images look on my monitor, and there'll be no glare behind me either, which is important for colour critical work. I'll be recalibrating my monitor under these conditions, and although I'll work with the curtains open for general office work like bookkeeping or marketing activities, when I'm working on photographs, I'll close the curtains and be able to work in a consistent environment. Again, this is why I chose the dark coloured furniture for this room, and like I say, the really dark curtains. If I need to use a wider backdrop, there's another room downstairs that I'm calling a study, in which I could set up a 9-foot backdrop easily. And at a push, I could do a 12-foot backdrop in our living come dining room. And because they're adjacent, joined by a large double door, I could also get a reasonable amount of distance between me and the subject if necessary. The beauty of our new place is that we do not intend to clutter it. We're buying stylish yet mostly minimalist furniture, which in itself could become props for lifestyle shoots if necessary. You'll also see in my diagram that I'm planning for a Canon Image Prograph IPF 6350 printer. This is the 24-inch wide model that I spoke about last week. I would like the 44-inch, the 8000 model, but I seriously don't think that there'll be many times when I need to print that wide, unless I start my own printing business. And I wouldn't rule that out, as I love printing, but for now, 24-inch wide will cover my plans. And I don't want to take up really, much more room than what you see here with, with an even larger printer like the 8000. The 6350 should be fine. You'll see that there is also what I'm going to be using as a storeroom sort of area to the left of my diagram. This is actually a walk-in closet. It's 257 by 210 centimetres. Again, not a huge room, but there, I'm going to get some racking and make it possible to store all of my camera bags and sheet paper, as well as some of my archive prints, along with, pretty much everything that I don't need at my fingertips is going to go in there. I'm thinking that my cameras and lens cabinet will probably go along the back wall, because this is the coolest part of the room. As you know, as this is basically an attic space, it gets quite hot during the day when the air conditioning's not on. But the back of this wall is it's in the closet there. It's about the coolest part of the room. Depending on how the large format printer fares in warmer conditions, though, he might have to go back to this place and the lens cabinet go where I have the printer now in the main room. And this may be how I do this anyway, but I'm not quite fully decided yet. I have a large bookshelf in my current apartment that will be coming with us, and that's going along the front wall in the walk-in closet. I'll be putting all of the books that I don't reference that often in the bottom left corner as you face it, so that I can put my printer table, the one that you see in the photo that we looked at earlier, I put that printer table in front of the bookshelf, but because it's on casters, I'll be able to move it out and away from the books, to get at the books very easily. And that reminds me, another reason why I chose this printer table with casters is because you have to leave a lot of room behind the printer when printing on heavy A3 plus or Super B paper, front loaded. And that's always been a pain in my current place. I had to roll the printer forward on that horrible makeshift shelf that loomed over my head for the last few years. I'm so looking forward to getting moved and set up with this new office space. Another consideration is that my office come studio upstairs is away from the main apartment space. This means that when I'm working, I'll be isolated and less susceptible to disruption. It also means that I will have no contact with my wife unless I go downstairs. This is going to be, it's a change from how I work. And, if you consider that I've always had my desk in my living room, there has rarely been a sense that I'm out of reach. That has good and bad sides to it, of course. When I really need to get something done, the odd question or comment can be disruptive. And being a man, I all too often answer without really thinking about it or even having actually listened to the question. And then I get in trouble later for not having listened. It has been quite nice to be close to my wife, with the current layout in the living room, even when working. So in our new place, I'm going to leave my laptop downstairs and work down there when it makes sense to do so. The whole place is a bit of a dream to us at the moment, though, after the less than perfect conditions that we've had to get used to over the last 10 years. So I really am looking forward to getting to this new place, and I look forward to reporting back on how things start to shape up in the future weeks. I do hope that was at least partially useful for some of you. There are considerations that I'm making that I think may not be totally obvious to someone that's setting up a similar sort of space. Note too that due to my move, I may end up having to play catch up on next week's podcast and hope to release something by the end of the week. If not, I'll try to put two episodes out in the coming weeks to make up for that. Either way, do stay subscribed, and hopefully we'll get back to some direct photography-related episodes too once I get out and start shooting again after the move. Thanks for listening today, and thanks again to our sponsors WebSpy for sponsoring the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Remember that you can find me on Flickr, Facebook, as well as Twitter, and of course my blog and the Photography Forum. All links are on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com, so drop by and check that out. I'll be back next week with another episode. In the meantime, you just have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.
This is Dave Warner, and I'm the host of the LensFlare35.com podcast. Each week, I bring you interviews with some of the top photographers using digital SLR cameras. They share some of their coolest tips and tricks, techniques, and news about what they're up to. So please take a moment to visit the website, or subscribe to LensFlare35 on iTunes.
The Martin Bailey Photography Podcast is a proud member of the Photocast Network. Find this and other great photography podcasts at photocastnetwork.com.